big nuclear time bombs. Holy overeating. Holy roller coasters.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time for the Lion Sidekick Podcast.
Hey, 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 heroes. Welcome back for another episode of the YM Sidekick Podcast. I'm Tom Pounder, your host. And this is where ministers come to get some cool tips and tricks and ideas on how to do ministry more effectively in a very digital and online world. And today I'm really excited because I've got Justin Dean on, and Justin is a communications guru. He has a history of working in communications at a church, but also he heads up that church conference, that church summit, Sunday U, Sunday to Sunday. He's got his hands in so much church communication stuff. It's fantastic, and he's a great resource for any kind of church communication stuff. And so I have him on the podcast today to talk about social media use and how ministers can use it, not necessarily from a standard like church comm, we're going to send out mass emails, yada, 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 but how we can be as individuals more engaged on social media and the positive impact we can have on others by being just more involved. So it's a fantastic conversation. I really enjoyed having Justin on. So without any further ado, let's get into the interview right now with Justin Dean. All right, with me right now is my friend Justin Dean. Justin, how are you?
Hey, Tom. It is good to talk to you. It's been a little bit for us.
It has been a little bit. I mean, I talk to you, I think, regularly on social media, which is postings and, you know, comments, but nothing in person.
I know. I think the last time it was probably you were on our podcast, so it's been a while, but I do feel like we keep in touch in all the Facebook groups.
Yes, that is definitely true. So, well, Justin, I know you very well. Well, I mean, virtually I know you very well and what you do. Hey, but some people may be listening that do not know who you are. So quickly give me a little background about your background and what you do now.
Sure. I've been in the startup world for most of my life, but then served as a communications director up at Marsh Hill Church in Seattle for about 5 years, and oversaw communications and marketing, social media, stuff like that up there. And about almost 4 years ago now, when Marsh Hill closed, I moved to Atlanta, Georgia, where I'm at now, and started a little conference called That Church Conference, where we focus on practical communications and marketing teaching. So this will be our fourth annual conference coming up actually in September, about a month away now. And so I run that. I'm kind of the director of the conference and put that together each year. And then we have SundayU.com, which is our online training arm for that. So we've got all the conference sessions up there, but then we do like monthly training and stuff like that, which you're well aware of. We've got some videos up there from you as well.
Yeah. No, it's awesome. You do a lot of stuff, and you're very entrepreneurial. And so,
sure.
Now I'm reflecting too. I saw you at the Orange Conference. You were working for, you know, at the Orange Conference doing stuff. You're everywhere, really.
Yeah. I try to be. I just love being around, that crowd. Orange and Catalyst are both here locally in Atlanta, and know a lot of people there. So I actually have the opportunity to serve on their social media team for both of those conferences. And so it's always fun. It's a great atmosphere to be in. Lots of people I know always come.
Yeah. Well, what got you interested in communications? Like what drove you to this kind of area?
Well, before I went into ministry, I was working for like tech startups. I was at like autotrader.com for a while, and
oh, wow,
more in the advertising end of things, and got into marketing near the end there, and have always been drawn to that. I went to college for marketing and never finished college because I actually got a great job in marketing at a young age, and just kind of went from there. And so that's always been the space I've been in.
Yeah.
I was very excited when I was able to pivot towards ministry when I was employed at Mars Hill, because forever I was selling things like cable TV and internet services and, you know, car classifieds and just stuff I didn't care about, stuff I didn't even use myself. I mean, I was the VP of marketing for a cable company, and I didn't have cable myself because we were early, we were early cord cutters, you know, and so I just you know, I wanted to promote something that not only made a difference, but that, you know, working for the church, it was the most important work that I could do. It was very pleasing just to be a part of that. Yeah. and see, you know, lives actually change through the things that you do. The impact that we had was incredible. And so, you know, that's what I do now for the conference, is I help empower other communicators and marketers to do the same, because we've got the best story to tell. And churches really, you know, don't do a great job at telling it. That's a shame. So we try to help.
Yeah. And you do a great job, and all the different training resources you have available are awesome. We're going to get into some of that towards the end as we wrap up, you know, just some specific ones to children's and student ministry that I think are great, but let's get into that about communications and whatnot. And you kind of led away here with saying, you know, we've got a great story to tell, but sometimes we're not so good at telling it. And I think in particular, like student ministry and children's ministers, you know, we are so tied up in so many different things that we're doing. I think sometimes the last thing we focus on is digital communications, you know, emails to people and social media posting. So if you were to give me some, you know, some good tips, and you give the children's minister or student minister some tips, how would you encourage them in digital communications?
You know, the biggest thing that I hope churches take away from conversations like this, particularly pastors, and particularly student leaders, I think too, is that as elders, as pastors, as leaders in the church, we're called to have our lives on display a bit. So it talks about this in Hebrews something or other. You'll just have to read the whole book. And it talks about how a pastor, a leader, should have their lives on display. We should be able to look into their lives and see, you know, not only hear the preached word of God from them, but we should be able to look at them and say, this is how a person, a Christian, should live. We should be able to see into their family. We should be able to see how they live their day, the things that they do. And so I think a lot of pastors, a lot of leaders are like, well, you know, man, that's a lot of pressure. You know, we want to have our own privacy and things like that. So there's definitely boundaries and restrictions that you put around that. But yeah, what I see a lot is that the pastors and leaders aren't active on social media themselves. Like it's one thing. Yeah. The church, the youth group should be active on social media and should be sharing, the life of the church, the life of the group, but the pastor himself, particularly a student pastor, because you've got a lot of young kids who are looking up to you to say, this is how a marriage should be. This is how, a single man should behave. This is how you should treat women. This is how you should treat your parents, things like that. And so we can tell that story through social media. Excuse me. And so I think, you know, my advice to pastors or student leaders would be to document your life as much as you can within those restrictions through social media, so that people can see that, because that's going to be the most powerful thing you can do, much more powerful than, you know, announcing events and things like that.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that too. And I think one of the sadder things for me, it just makes me sad that even in this day and age, you know, that more and more pastors are not on social media. In fact, they're like, I have to remove myself from social media because of how toxic it is. And I'm like, we have a great opportunity to be light to other people and to be an example to other people, to so many more people than we would ever come in contact through social media.
Well, and the thing is, you know, you only have, 45 minutes to an hour during youth group on Wednesday. You maybe get another hour on Sunday, but even then it's in passing. It's quick. It's not personal one-to-one. And we've, you know, like our friend Brady Sharier and Dave Adamson, I mean, they're always talking about, we've got 167 hours throughout the week that aren't at church. Yeah. And that's where we can connect with people, is on social media, you know, whether it be adults or kids. You know, you go to the networks that they're on, except for Snapchat. That's a whole nother podcast. But you know where I stand on Snapchat. I think there's limits, and Snapchat crosses those limits. But you know, there's a way to reach youth through Instagram, through YouTube is a huge one. We just did a summit online training, youtubechurches.com, where we've got five or six different speakers spoke on the power of YouTube. You know, there was some research that just came out from Pew. This is, you know, kids, students, teenagers, they're watching YouTube all day long. They're binge watching it every single day. They're looking for answers. They're searching for things like, how do I read the Bible? How do I be a Christian? And they're learning from other millennials, but the church is nowhere to be found on YouTube. And I think that there's huge opportunities with Instagram, Instagram stories, IGTV now, YouTube. Even Facebook groups is still a great way to reach youth. I think we need to be there. We need to be providing that content there. It needs to come from the pastors and leaders as well. My friend Greg Laurie down in Southern California, he said that, you know, in this era of fake news and all the horrible stuff going on and, you know, shootings, you know, every month and stuff like that, and everyone's bickering and fighting, you know, over political stuff online, that's a huge opportunity, not for us to retreat and not be a part of it, but it's a huge opportunity for us to put some good news in those feeds. It, you know, as people are flowing through their news feeds, they should be seeing other Christians, pastors, and churches bringing positivity and motivation and you know, the good word through those channels. Instead, we're either participating in the fight or we're backing out completely. I hear that a lot from pastors and leaders. They're like, no, I'm not posting on social media. Like, I can't handle it. I need my privacy. I can't handle everyone's problems. And it's really a shame. Like, there's a way to do it properly while still respecting your, you know, your private life.
Yeah. And that's the thing where, again, well, there's a lot of things I definitely want to go into here. One is, again, I think it makes me sad so many pastors backing out rather than engaging the culture, engaging. Again, it's overwhelming because there's Facebook, there's Twitter, there's Instagram, there's, you know, YouTube now. There's so many things that you can get into. So it's overwhelming to say, I've got to be involved with all of them. And your recommendation would be pick one and start small and invest in that area and then grow from that, correct?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I think, you know, if you're a student pastor, you know, take a pulse of where everyone is on what they're using and go there. You know, it's probably going to be Instagram. It probably is going to be Snapchat. So you got to make some decisions there. You know, I'm finding that, you know, the teenagers they still have Facebook accounts. You tag a teenager on Facebook and they're going to respond to it within minutes.
Yeah.
And they may not be scrolling through their Facebook feed every day like we are and engaging back and forth, but they are seeing those posts and they are pretty active in groups. Mm-hmm. Facebook used to have a standalone groups app. And I knew tons of kids who only had the groups app installed. They didn't have the Facebook app installed even because they were active in groups. It's a little more private. They can talk to their friends and stuff like that. And so churches should be creating those groups. They should be there, you know, in those discussions and leading those discussions and kind of setting the tone in the culture as well. But pick one and focus on that and do it well and then grow from there if you need to. But particularly in the youth, it's like you can pick one and just own it and do it well.
Yeah, and they keep on evolving too. Again, Instagram keeps on adding things. Facebook keeps on adding things. And so it makes it more possible. Again, I will just, again, group chats within and group video stuff within Instagram, I think is very important. And it can be a great tool for you, especially if teens or in college people are not as involved on Facebook. I like what you said, though. They'll go to Facebook groups. You tag them on something, they will. And it really does happen. So I think it's just us being strategic and communicating, being a part of that world and engaging with them, what they're doing. I mean, so I think it's really cool.
There is pressure to like go where they are and be everywhere they are. And I don't really believe in that. Like, as long as you're finding a effective way to connect with them, that's fine. They can be all over Snapchat, and you can say as a youth group, we're not going to promote Snapchat. We're not going to tell people to follow us on Snapchat. You know, the pastor might have an account just to be able to interact as necessary, but I would say you know, just pick one. And if you're able to connect with most of them through that channel, then that's fine. Just go with that. I think you can easily own Instagram and put out some cool videos and stories and the IGTV thing and really engage with people that way and try to engage with them as much in person as possible too. But because the kids will, they want to be a part of it. They want to be a part of that community. And so if you say, hey, we're just owning we're on an Instagram, that's where we're at. They will follow you there and they'll engage with you there. The idea isn't to babysit them and be everywhere they are. You're not going to be able to do that. Every week there's new apps that pop up that are designed specifically for teenagers to communicate with each other in ways that their parents will never find out, disappearing messages and stuff like that. Like, they will continue to do that. They'll use GroupMe, they'll use Facebook groups, they'll create their own Facebook groups that you will never even see or be a part of. Like, you don't need to worry about all that. You need to worry about the one channel you're going to own where you're going to be a good influence to them. And they will see it. I guarantee it.
Yeah. How would you encourage the student leader or children's ministry leader or young adult leader who is not quite hip or cool, who's a little bit older and they feel like they can't understand it really well, but they really would like to get involved with one of these social media platforms, but they're a little intimidated. How would you encourage them in pursuing that?
Find someone who does love it and use it. So there's always going to be an older kid at your youth group who wants to be a little more involved and help you out. Take that kid to lunch or something, and say, hey, can you help me out? What are the networks that everyone's using right now? What should we as a youth group be on? And ask them, how do I use it? What's the cool thing to do? What is really interesting to you guys? And just, pick their brain and have those conversations. Obviously, there's a ton of training out there, that we provide and that others provide. It's pretty easy to find social media help for churches these days. You put together a digital boot camp and stuff like that. That's amazing. I mean, there's podcasts. There's not a shortage of tools and resources for this stuff. My friend Ellie and Kenny put together a program called Stuff You Can Use. And they have some great, not only curriculum and stuff like that, but they help a lot with, hey, here's how to use these tools as well. And so, do your research and don't take it haphazardly. Like, this is a huge opportunity, much better. It's a much better opportunity than your pulpit or your youth group or even Sunday morning to actually reach and engage with people. And so, take it seriously and learn how to do it well. It's really not that hard.
Yeah. No, I agree with you on that. And I think it's actually provides a great opportunity for a youth minister or youth leader to get with another student to say, teach me how to do this. Teach me your ways. I'm willing to learn. And it could be a fun thing for them and for the student as well. So it'd be kind of a cool thing.
That kid that just turned 18, who's been in the youth group for 5 years, and now he's in that awkward stage of, if I keep coming, it's kind of creepy. If I don't come, I'm disconnected. And I don't want to just go to Sundays. There's no college program. That's the kid you tap and say, hey, why don't you volunteer or help or come on staff or whatever and help us with social media and give them more of a leadership type of role in the group so they can stick around and help you out with this kind of stuff.
Yeah, that'd be really cool. That would definitely be cool. So, all right, well, let's hit on this real quick before we wrap up. You just did a webinar recently on YouTube, and YouTube is definitely, again, as all the stats show, that kids are on YouTube all the time. So what would you recommend for us? And like, what did you talk about in that webinar? How can we get access to it? And what did you, how can we utilize it?
So here's the thing. I mean, right now, millennials, teenagers, anyone, 12 to, 20s are using and watching YouTube every day. The statistics now are showing that they're using it more than TV. They're using it more than Facebook. YouTube is the second most visited website on the internet. It's the second largest search engine which is crazy. Like, you know, people are using Google for search, but then they're going straight to YouTube as well to search for how to do this, how to do that. You know, you want to know how to use a certain camera, you look up how to use the, you know, Panasonic G7. You know, specific, you get so specific with everything, and you can find videos on everything. And so we're using it a ton, we're using it on mobile. But the interesting thing to me is I've got four kids, ages 2 all the way to 11. All four of them, all the way down to the 2-year-old, are on YouTube all day long, every day. They have their iPads, and we're not shy with screen time in our house because we homeschool. And my kids watch history lessons. They watch math lessons. Now we restrict this stuff. We have tools and apps that restrict their use, and they, you know, they're not even allowed to use a web browser. And when they do YouTube, it's YouTube for kids, which restricts, you know, stuff they can view and stuff like that. So you got to be smart with it. But they can search for videos, and it's incredible what they watch. Some of it's dumb, and they're watching other kids play Minecraft and things like that.
Yep.
It's fine to veg out and they're not watching TV anymore, though. We never watch TV. We never watch shows. They never just sit and watch cartoons. They're watching YouTube. My son, my oldest son, 11, he watches this channel called What's Inside. It's a father and a son, and they've got millions of followers. And they literally will just – they'll take something and they'll cut it open, and they'll explore what's inside of it. It's like a great science lesson almost. But they'll cut everything open from an iPhone to Tesla gave them a car that they chopped it down. I mean, they're like mega, you know, they're making millions now off of this channel. But
oh my gosh, my
son loves it. Everything they do, he's just eating it up. And so it's very educational. And this is the next generation. Like, we're not talking about millennials. Like, I'm technically a millennial at 35 with four kids. So my kids aren't millennials. They're whatever the heck we're going to call the next two generations.
Yeah.
And they are growing up without TV, without DVDs, with, you know, like we want to rent a movie. We just push a button, we rent it, and it's there.
Yep.
And so they're growing up with YouTube, with all this, you know, digital technology. And TV is going to be a thing of the past in 5 to 10 years. Yep. For them. And so we need to pay attention to that. We need to pay attention not only to the trends now, but it's going to get worse, for a lack of, you know, a better way to describe it. Like, it's going to get more intense the way that people are using YouTube. So the church needs to jump on it now, and for once get ahead of the game, and learn ways to use it. Like, you know, I know churches are throwing up sermons and things like that. The churches who are, you know, a little bit smarter, they're throwing up clips because that's what people are actually consuming. Mm-hmm. And but what's the potential there is really endless. You know, our friend Dave Adamson does these daily devotions. They're 2-minute daily devotions, and they're incredible. And, you know, he's a pastor at North Point putting that up. Trey Van Camp is just documenting his life as a pastor. It's exactly what I was talking about when we started. Just, here's my life. It's on display. You know, I'm not perfect, but it's here for you to see. And people are following that, and they're motivated, and they're encouraged to live a better life as well. And so there's huge opportunity there for people. So we went into all of that. YouTubechurches.com is where you can go, and you can actually get all that content. You check out there, and you can get instant access to it. You get some courses and stuff too. That's probably the most important and biggest opportunity right now for churches is YouTube specifically. Yep. We need to own that space.
Yeah, I agree with you. I like that space. And again, I'm with you on that in the sense that my kids, my older kids will be watching Netflix. My younger kids are all in on YouTube, and they're watching these gamers play video games, and they're watching these guys do this. And they've actually even created their own YouTube channels to do their own thing. And I'm like, it's very creative. I mean, and I like the idea. And even me, like, I fixed my washing machine one time by Googling this air, and it showed me a YouTube video. And I'm like, I can do that. I saved myself $150 by just doing it.
I changed my headlight the other day by just looking it up on YouTube, man. Yep.
I know. And so I like what you said. There's so many how-to videos on YouTube. There's some how-to videos about how to read the Bible, how to do this, how to do that. Well,
And there are, like, if you search YouTube for how to read the Bible, you will see content that answers that question, but the content is coming from 17-year-old girls. So 17-year-old girls are producing incredible videos teaching others how to read the Bible, and that's great. Like, that's amazing. As a dad, if my kids were creating content like that on their channels, that'd be amazing. So we want to encourage that. But what's sad is there are no pastors found in that search. There are no churches found in that. Well, I take that back. There are cults popping up. So the Mormons are owning YouTube. There are well-produced videos that, if you didn't know better, you'd say these are Christians teaching me how to read the Bible. There are other groups, the Jehovah's Witnesses, and there's groups like that that are producing and owning this space. And so for Christian churches not to be there, it's incredible, because those searches are there. All kinds of biblical questions and things are there. And you might find some full-length sermons pop up in those search results, but nobody's going to watch a full-length 30 to 60-minute sermon when they were literally searching how to read the Bible or how to become a Christian. Yeah. They're going to watch a 3-minute video from some 17-year-old girl, and you better hope that she's theologically sound, you know?
Right. Yeah, no, totally true. So, yeah, so great opportunities out there, and the stuff that we need to work on. So that's good. So I will definitely link all that stuff to in the show notes here. But how can I connect with you now from personally? Like, where are you on most? Facebook, Twitter? What are you on the most?
You know, I still love Twitter. That's a whole other podcast too, whether that's dying or not. But it serves its means, and particularly in order to get a hold of an individual person, Twitter's the best way. So yes. People can find me on Twitter, Justin J. Dean. You have to put that J in the middle. That's really a great way to connect with me. Obviously, I'm on Instagram and Facebook too. And then, the conference, if you want to know about that, that's thatcc.com. And we're about to sell out on that. So looking forward to seeing everyone down here in Atlanta in September.
Yeah, that I wish I could be at that conference this year again. That was my first conference I went to ever, kind of a digital communications thing, and that was fantastic. So I will give my two thumbs up for you on that. And I know it's even gotten even better in the years since I haven't been there. So
this year's gonna be pretty good. I'm bummed you're missing it, but we got big plans for next year too. So.
That's great. And you offer a lot of online stuff. So if you just connect with Justin there and go to the thatcc.com, you'll find a lot of the stuff there. So it's great resources. So I would strongly encourage you to do that. All right, Justin. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. As always, it's a great time.
No, it's a pleasure. My honor being on the show, man. And I love what you're doing and support you fully. So thanks for having me.
Thanks, Justin. I really appreciate it, man. All right, so there you have it, my conversation with Justin. I mean, he's awesome, and he's right on. I mean, just that little last bit about YouTube and how important YouTube is for us to be sharing about Christ to others. It's an untapped resource for any of us to do it, and Dave Adamson is killing it, doing some personal stuff, but also some stuff from North Point about it. I mean, there are people who are using YouTube now, and I think we can, like what Justin said, get ahead of it right now. And rather than playing catch up, I mean, so let's figure out how we can continue to use social media to communicate about Christ. And again, it's something as very simple as just us sharing our story, us sharing our life with people on Facebook or on Twitter, and them letting to see what the love of Christ really looks like in the life of someone else. I mean, there's so many great opportunities, and we kind of just scratched the surface of it. But Justin's fantastic, so I would encourage you to connect with him. And I would encourage you to share just some thoughts that you're doing right now. How are you using social media to connect people to the gospel and share about Christ? What are you doing? Please share it with me. You can hit me up on Twitter at TA Pounder. You can share it with Justin. I'm sure he would love to hear that as well. And then check out all his courses that he has on his various sites with Sunday to Sunday, the Facebook group, or Sunday U. He's got a lot of great resources out there, so definitely connect with him there. All right, heroes, well, that wraps it up for another episode of the YM Sidekick Podcast. Again, I've got more great episodes lined up, so you definitely want to subscribe to this. Just simply go to iTunes and subscribe to it, or you can go to ymsidekick.com. I've got my blog there, podcasts, I got some vlogs, and my Twitter ebook. I'm going to have Justin on a little bit later to talk about Twitter and his thoughts on Twitter, because I would love to hear what he has to say about that. But I've got my Twitter ebook on there as well. So definitely hit up ymsidekick.com. All right, heroes. Well, I hope you have a great rest of the day. I hope you have a great rest of the week. And until next time, have a great one.